You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina filling in for Dan Stratford. And we got my buddy George Kurtz filling in for Mr. Mike Blewett. Good to talk to you on a Saturday morning there, George. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Joe. Joe, do you realize we have actually games that are going to count this week in baseball? Thursday really opens up the Major League Baseball season in Japan, so it's a good week. It's a weird week because it's a little tease, right? You get a couple of games. I don't know if you're going to wake up early. I'm not waking up early, Joe. I might record the games and watch them when I wake up, but I'm not waking up at 5:30 a.m. to watch these things. You know, you get two games and you got to wait another week.
I might be up anyway, so I wouldn't set an alarm to watch these games unless our Yankees were playing and they played in Japan in the past. But it's the 20th and the 21st. We've got the A's versus the Mariners, and Mike Fiers opens up the season for the A's versus Marco Gonzalez in game one. And then game two, Marco Estrada pitches for the A's, and we get to see the major league debut of Yusei Kikuchi for the Mariners. I'm excited. That I'm very interested to see. I drafted him on my TGFBI team. I'm hoping that, like so many Asian players in the past, that first year or at least that first turn through the league, usually they have been successful. So it's going to be interesting to see what Kikuchi could do against major league batters this season.
Can you say that name without thinking Kikuchi Kuchiku?
No, I can't.
I mean, that's going to kill me all season long. That's all I'm going to be thinking of every time I hear that name.
Just like, taking your finger under a baby's chin and going Kuchi Kuchi Ku?
That I don't think I've ever done. But
I've seen it done on TV. Yeah, I've never done that either in person, but I've seen it done in the movies.
That was a thing.
No?
No, that was a thing. No, I didn't.
And what'd you think it was? You're the one who brought up the Kuchi Kuchi Koo. So what'd you think?
It was just annoying a baby pretty much, right? Kuchi Kuchi Koo. It's all I can think of now with this guy's name here. I think they said his nickname is Kuchi. I believe it does. I mean, it's a natural nickname there. But fantasy-wise, it brings up something interesting because just we get these two games early. Mm-hmm. These teams haven't announced their rotation for the that weekend's games because remember baseball opening day starts on Thursday, but odds are you'll get two starts from Fiers. You could get two starts from Gonzalez, Kuchi. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Well, ordinarily you may not have these guys in your lineup, especially more. This probably goes more towards Fiers because you're facing Seattle, not much of an offense there. These are almost must starts now.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point. And we're
you sound shocked. George, no, good not. Point. My God.
Well, come on.
Every now and
come
then.
Come on, George. you are one of the best. I tip my cap to you early in the morning.
Oh, checks in the mail.
But, I was surprised that you actually said something smart. So how's everything else going?
Wife.
I know you had your did you have your home league draft? I saw you tweeted out that you had set up a draft date way in advance, and then all of a sudden the day of one of your league mates said that they couldn't make it.
Yeah, I mean we all have this problem, right? I joke about it all the time, but the hardest thing I'll do all year is set up a draft date. I mean, it's not even my draft, it was my brother's draft. But a lot of my, my brother and I have a lot of the same friends, and a lot of my good friends are in it. And it's a home league going on year 29, I believe, or 28. I think it started in 91, so this would be year 28. And, we set up a draft date. You know, we always ask before we set it up, hey, if you can't make it, we send it out to the league. If you can't make a day, please send us the other days you're blocking off. Always send that out to everybody. And we get it back. You look at it. You find the day that everyone has free. We make the date, right? It should be that simple, right? Day of the draft. One of my best friends, but he's brain dead. Hey, when's the draft? Like, what? It's a coincidence he has to send it out on the day of the draft, too. I mean, give me a break. Now, obviously, it's fairly obvious. He just couldn't admit that, plans changed. Now he couldn't make it. No, at that point, there's nothing you can do. there's just nothing you can do. I mean, send a draft list in, buddy, because, hey, we're not changing the date again. We can't do it. We'll never get the job. We'll never get it in. But it,
well, maybe you get a friend to draft your team for you, right?
I mean, that's what we ended up doing. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get your friend
the
list.
To do it for you. Mm-hmm. But it's frustrating because people cancel drafts for every reason. You know, mm-hmm. It's like you need to cancel a draft for a you got to go somewhere with your kids. I get it. All right, we all have kids. But you can't be canceling because you got to rearrange your sock drawer. Okay, you got to put your underwear in order that week. I mean, that day.
Or if you have to do it, just don't admit that that's the reason. You know, make up something
that would
good
help too.
And then fix your sock drawer.
But it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing. But hey, it got in the draft. It took forever, you know. But it got done, and thankfully it's done. So yes, my home league is done. I got another little. I think I got two more drafts this week on Tuesday and Thursday. The Thursday draft will be forever. That's another forever draft. That's with RotoWire, and that it's 18 teams, 40 man rosters.
Wow.
We're not drafting all 40, Joe. It's a major keeper league. You're allowed to keep up to 15 major leaguers from the year before and 10 minor leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not keeping the full amount, but we only auction the first 23 players. So if I'm keeping 15, I'm only auctioning 8. And then you do a snake draft for the rest of the draft. So it's a long draft. I mean, we'll start at 7. We won't finish till midnight.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, because it's an auction / I don't need all these picks, I'll get out of there earlier than most because it does take forever.
Yeah, sounds challenging. Sounds very interesting as well. Yeah, I have a draft on Tuesday night. The Greenwich Street Tavern League, 15-team league. Adam Ronis is in the league. I'm going to drop some names. You know, the BFFs are in it. Chris Vaccaro, who's a big-time player in the NFBC leagues. And by the way, we've got live coverage of that draft starting at noon today. So we got great coverage. This is a big draft weekend. But in this 15-team league that I just mentioned for Tuesday, I found that I have the number one pick. So, obviously going to go with Trout. And then we'll see what happens from there.
But, tough choice there. Did you spend a lot of time thinking about that?
Mookie. Some people
God
think Mookie
I should
number
ever
one.
Get the number one or two. I haven't seen that at all. I've done a bunch of lives and a whole bunch of mocks, and I have not seen
maybe,
Mookie
maybe
go
I've seen
yet.
It in maybe I've seen it in mocks more than live. I've only really done the one live, and then I have another live coming up, and then three more coming up within the next week and a half. So, but you're right. I mean, March 28th is the official opening day. So that's what 12 days away. That's amazing. Where it's the earliest opening day ever, right? March 28th.
They opened up in March last year too, but I think the 20th might be the earliest year by a couple of. It's crazy. It's still cold here in the Northeast. I know today's not a terrible day, and yesterday wasn't terrible either. But
yesterday
tomorrow it's getting into the 40s again.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be in the 30s
too.
At night.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that's going to change in 12 days. Where it's going to be nicer weather. I think it's one of the mistakes baseball does. It starts, even they were starting in April, it was cold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you need to start later, try and get rid of some of these cold days, or at least tell these teams to stop playing games at night. Because, my God, man. Someone asked me during the home draft, what was the coldest game I've ever been to? And I'm like, it's not a football game. You know, I think when you go to a football game, you expect it to be cold, so you handle it better. The coldest game I've been to was a baseball game. And
me
the
too.
Choice between the opening day for the Yankees, where I had nosebleed seats, or I went to a night game in April for the Yankees, and like I said, in April, it was devastatingly cold. I would have paid easily $20 for a cup of hot chocolate. It was that cold.
Yeah. I think it was last season. It was like one of the first few games at Yankee Stadium last year, and like you, I had nosebleed seats. I was with my wife. It was just so windy up there and cold, and you know, I really wasn't dressed. I didn't think it was going to be that cold, and you know, I was wearing a jacket, but nothing warm enough. So we ended up, you know, moving to another area. But man, yeah, you're right. These early spring games in baseball. At least, hey, make sure that you schedule as many games as you can with the. You know, in Florida or on the West Coast, you know, Atlanta,
it can
you know,
be done.
Texas, yeah.
I've actually gone through it. There are enough teams that can be really close. It may be 16, 14 as
Arizona.
Far as cold weather, warm weather, dome stadiums. I mean, it can be done. I know these teams say, well, if we start on the road, it's an unfair advantage. It's 162 games.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you can make this up during the year. I mean, it should be done. You have so many, and these teams are going to complain because they have all these rainouts and cold outs and snow outs in April. And then, no, we got to play doubleheaders now. We lose money. You know what? I don't get it. I just don't get it why they force these teams to open up these games when you know you're going to have cancellations. You know the fans don't like because it's cold as hell.
Right.
You know, it's not baseball played in 30-degree weather. It's just not.
Agreed. So, like I said, a big day of programming today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We've got, like I mentioned, starting at noon, live coverage of the National Fantasy Baseball Championship Draft taking part this weekend. Got the main event, which our own Frankie Stanfill will be a part of. I believe that starts at 1. But great coverage yesterday. I was listening. You were doing the news updates with Greg Sussman hosting, Joe Piscopia, and I really also enjoyed listening to former Major League pitcher Brad Ziegler, who's going to also be a part of the broadcast team this today as well. Just getting his insight as to, you know, getting traded from Arizona to the Red Sox and all that stuff. I mean, it was just really great stuff. You know, Greg's a great host, asking all the right questions, and Joe Piscopia not only has the wisdom, but has the wit. He adds a little levity to the team, so it's really good stuff. So NFBC, high-stakes leagues, just to give you, for instance, a $2,500 entrance fee for the NFBC Super Auction, which I believe is going to be later today as well. So, and then I have to also mention Tout Wars is going on this weekend in New York. So lots of industry drafting and stuff that if you follow, you could it could help you in determining your draft strategy as well.
Yeah, most leagues want to get going this weekend because, once again, Oakland, Seattle play Thursday. So they want to get it done before the first game of the year. Next week will still be a very big draft weekend as well, and draft week, because hey, it's only two games, you'll survive. But I expect this weekend to be maybe the busiest weekend of the year as far as baseball drafts are concerned. Not a surprise here that all the big wigs are getting their drafts done this weekend. And you're right, you can learn something from following the drafts. You can. As far as strategies, how these guys build teams, these are the Sharks. You know, you met someone like Chris Vaccaro, and you might want to see how he's building his team, how he goes about it. Maybe, you figure something new out. So it certainly can't hurt.
Yeah, high-stakes fantasy baseball Hall of Famer Chris Vaccaro, definitely a force to be reckoned with among those drafting. And like I mentioned, Frankie Stanfill is going to be drafting in the main event early this afternoon. He goes head-to-head. Matt Modica, another big-time player, really knows his stuff year-round, will be also will be involved in that draft as well. So good stuff coming up. But today I figure we'll go around the league, George, try to get in as many teams as we can, division by division. Take a look at the over-unders, the win totals, and just team by team, just breaking down some of the more fantasy-relevant players and give some insight as to maybe some players maybe you should draft, should avoid, maybe some players that might end up getting called up middle of the season. So we'll do that. Just a couple of quick notes, and then we'll get going here. Bryce Harper, a little scare for Bryce Harper owners yesterday. The Phillies got plunked by a 96-mile-per-hour fastball in his ankle. Supposedly, initial x-rays came back negative. He's going to continue to go through some more comprehensive testing. Hopefully, they don't find anything. But right now, they're calling it an ankle contusion, George.
Yeah, right. I wasn't watching it live, but I saw it later, and I saw the sound of it. Man, that didn't sound good. You heard it hit the bone, whatever that hit, man. It didn't sound good at all. Mm-hmm. So certainly understand why he was in pain and why he wasn't happy about it. But it looks like he's okay here. You said it. They are sending him a further test to make sure. I got to admit, I'm a little surprised he's okay. This was a sound that didn't sound good. But
what happened to Freddie Freeman last year? Remember he got plunked on the wrist, the same wrist that he broke the year before? And just from the sight of it, it looked like he was going to be out for the rest of the year. And then, it healed. It was just nothing. So we hope that that's the case with Bryce Harper as well. So, but the thing is, he got a late start this spring. So, he's definitely going to be set back a little bit. But hopefully he'll be ready for opening day.
I think he'll play opening day. Whether or not he's ready is a different story. And he doesn't have a hit yet in spring training. He's only been a couple of games, and now he's going to – you got to assume at the very least he misses this weekend, right? Won't play Saturday, Sunday. Maybe he's back next week. It's only another 8-9 games at most.
I know.
He's not going to play full-time. He's not going to get full four at-bats here. If I'm the Phillies, I wonder if they start to bat him first just to get him as many at-bats as possible in the games he does play.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, when we come back, why don't we start breaking down some of these teams? Over-under, win totals, fantasy relevance of their players. When we come back, start me up, baby. Start me up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
A burning thing.
Sing it, Johnny, sing it.
And it makes.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
Bound.
The Ring of Fire. Johnny Cash, the Man in Black. Song reminds me of Applebee's, though. They used to be played on the commercial. Great song, though. Love it. Good job there, Sean Engel.
I'm a Johnny Cash guy. It's very good. Very good tune.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a favorite Johnny Cash song?
That might be it. I mean, I got a bunch of them. You know,
Boy Named Sue.
Boy Named Sue is a really good tune.
It's a funny
it
one.
Is.
Yeah.
he's got a bunch. My mom was a big Johnny Cash fan, so I grew up liking him as well. I think I got his best hit CD around here somewhere. So, I'm a Johnny Cash guy. Like you said, the Man in Black.
Yeah, good stuff from Sean Engel producing our show today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So already a little drama, George, in the exhibition season where A.J. Hinch, the manager for the Astros, got thrown out of the game. Was it yesterday? Angel Hernandez threw him out after one pitch, supposedly because Hinch was arguing balls and strikes. And I guess previous conversations between the two, Hernandez admitted that he misses somewhere around like four calls a game. He admitted that to Hinch. So maybe, he's got a little thin-skinned and was a little sensitive and maybe overreacted.
I think Angel Hernandez is one of the worst dumps in baseball. He constantly gets one of the worst grades from players that they don't like him. He's, you mentioned thin-skinned. He's angry as soon as he walks out there and all this other crap. But why A.J. Hinch is arguing balls and strikes in the spring training game in the first inning, beyond that's a personal issue there.
You took the words right from my mouth. Has to be personal. Based on the conversation that they had in the past.
Yeah, I mean... Angel Hernandez says he misses four calls a game. He may miss four calls an inning. But when you're behind the plate, I can certainly see that. He's the guy who had, three calls in a row wrong at first base, and was it a Yankee game last year? I think it had to be
something
Yankee
like
game.
That, yeah.
Yeah, he was three calls in a row were wrong. It was hilarious. They were all bang-bang plays. We got each one wrong. 50-50 chance, and he came up heads three times, and you bet on tails. Not good, Angel. But he's a bad umpire. And there's quite a few of them. I think throughout sports, officiating is bad. I just don't think it's baseball. I think officiating is bad. It's as far as the home plate goes. It's why I can't wait for robot umps, using Quest Tech, the K Zone, or whatever it is. I can't wait till they get rid of these guys, and they wouldn't even get rid of them. But so at least they can't on the base we can correct the calls. Yet at home plate we can't. Balls and strikes we can't. And it's the easiest way to influence a game. It's the easiest way by far. When he's umpire strike zone, some umpires have a strike zone the size of a cereal box. The other is the size of a refrigerator box. You never know what you're going to get. It changes from inning to inning, especially from the first inning to the ninth inning.
Yeah, just be consistent.
Strikes on a rice and roni box. It's a joke in my mind.
Do you think it's gotten worse over the years? I mean, or you think it's always been bad and just we're noticing now?
It's probably always been bad, but I think back in, before they all went to, when they used to use the balloon chest protector. I know it didn't look nice, the old Ron Luciano days back in the 70s and part of the 80s. The balloon didn't look great, but it allowed them to sit right over the middle of the plate. Now, where do they sit? They all sit on the inside corner, all of them on the inside corner, which means they're guessing on the outside corner. They're just guessing. They have no idea if it's a ball or a strike. It's close enough to strike or however they go about it. So I think that's a big part of the issue as well, because they don't use the balloon. They use the chest protector now, which means they want the catcher to block as much of them as possible because the ball hurts when they get hit by it. So I think that's part of the issue there. Part of it is just human fallacy as well. I mean, they're going to make mistakes. I don't think that's an excuse, mind you, when it can be fixed. Mm-hmm. You know, we can. And I think the idea for me is you want to shorten these games. And once again, you go to a computerized strike zone, no more arguments. Who are you going to argue with? You know, you can argue with IBM. Go ahead. Let me know how it works out for you. You know, green light, ball, red light, strike. Let's go. Next, throw the ball. And I think it solves a lot of problems. Plus, more importantly, the strike zone is now the same for everybody. Right. No more of this, this guy's going to be on the Hall of Fame. He gets a strike zone that's 24 inches wide. Oh, this young rookie throwing? Nah, rookie. He gets a 12-inch strike zone. You know, and we see this all the time. The veteran gets more of the plate. I mean, listen, it's not the only reason, but Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine made a living or throwing the ball off the plate because the umpire called it every time because they were Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine.
Right.
You know, and that'll stop now. Once again, it'll be the same for everybody, which is where the game is meant to be. Plus, it also means the high strike will be called, which they don't call now. At least most umpires don't. The game will speed up because the hitters will realize we got to swing the bats. Have no choice. Got to swing.
Yeah. No, I agree with you in terms of consistency, you know, and let's face it, you know, even in the game of football, you know, Tom Brady seems to get the calls, right? Why? Because of his reputation. So and you mentioned
Don't get me started on football.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Because that's a joke, too. Think about football. Think about football, Joe. You get these old men, 50, 60-year-old guys who are 40, 50 yards away running to the middle of the field to spot the ball. Oh, yeah, that's going to be accurate. That's going to be accurate. Sure. You know, and then you got this guy on the punts that go out of bounds. Yeah, he's able to watch a ball. It's 20 yards in the air and the sideline at the same time. Sure. Yeah, that's happening. You know, that I'm sure it's completely accurate. That's the old Price is Right guy. I keep waiting for him to go off the edge of the cliff during that game. It's going, put his hand in the air. Oh, yeah, I'm going to stop here. That's all it is. You know what? Here's good. You know, it's a joke. It's just a joke. And that hasn't changed in 1,000 years in football. I mean, yeah, sure, that's accurate. No doubt in my mind, that's accurate. I mean, come on.
Are you looking to get robots refereeing football games at the stage?
No, but you can put chips in the bowl and chips on the field where it'd be much more.
Accurate.
It's a joke. First downs determine games, especially late. We've all seen it. Where, oh, my God, it's inches off. He got the first down by inches or he missed by inches. You know, wouldn't it be nice if he actually knew what he did? I mean, it's logical to me. Rather than have these odd guys guess, that's all it is. The chain gang is guessing. They're just guessing. Now, we all buy it. Everybody buys it. Oh, sure. I mean, it's close enough. That's really what we're playing here. That's just, like I said, same in strikes and balls. You know, same with what the NFL does. It's close enough. We're going with close enough. We're not going with perfect. So I think it's silly for two industries that make billions upon billions, print their own money. Really, you can't get the technology to do this? Give me a break.
I like the chip idea. That's very good. I like that. So why don't we start breaking down some of these teams? We'll start with the AL East. Last year, the Red Sox, 108 wins, kind of ran away with it. We're 8 games up over the Yankees by the end of the season. But let's take a look at the Yankees. They were 100 wins, 62 losses last year. Their over-under total is 96.5. You've mentioned it. The first part of their season, fairly easy, right? They've played some weaker teams. Just in terms of just an overview in terms of what's been going on fantasy wise with the roster. Well, we got some news yesterday on Severino, and to me, very concerned now because Brian Cashman says that Severino will not be ready until early May, the earliest. I mean, that's the last that I heard. MRI came back clean. I think he got a shot for the inflammation in his rotator cuff. But this worries me a little bit there, George.
As well it should. But once again, this is not a surprise. As soon as the injury happened on these shows and everything else, don't count on Severino until May. That was easy. It really was easy. Once again, the Yankees don't have to rush him. They just don't. They have the depth in their organization to cover for this. So that's fine. They're not going to be worried, but oh my God, we're not going to have starters there. You got Luis Sessa, you got Domingos Germán, you got Jonathan you and I call him Lasagna. That's fine. I mean, you'll survive that. You mentioned the schedule for the Yankees. I mean, I think this is going to be true of most good American League teams. You know, it's just the way it is. It's cake. It's just cake in the first half here. I mean, the Yankee schedule for April is Baltimore at home for three. Then Detroit home for three. Then they're at Baltimore for three. Last I checked, Baltimore and Detroit are terrible. Two of the worst teams in baseball. Then, okay, they're at Houston for three. Obviously, Houston's one of the better teams, but got to play somebody good. Then they play the White Sox. Then only two against the Red Sox, and they're both at home. And then they're playing Kansas City, another bad team. And then they go out west. They're playing the Angels and San Fran. Once again, bad teams. Arizona's in there as well. Bad team. Before May. May picks up a little bit. I mean, a little bit. In May. It's just a schedule for the Yankees doesn't seem to really start until late May, June. So that's really, I'm sure Cashman's looking at this too and goes, you know what? We're offense. If, you know, Domingo Germán and Lasagna giving up 3-4 runs a game, we're going to be fine. We're going to score 8. Yeah, you look at it, and the Yankees should score 8. And with that bullpen, let's face it, they don't need these guys to go 6-7 innings. You go 4-5, we're fine. You know, and we'll dominate after that. So there's no reason for the Yankees to worry here. There's no reason to panic and go sign Dallas Keuchel for 3 years and $45 million, whatever he wants. Or Gio Gonzalez is somebody on a one-year deal I might look at. I might look at. You know, I would. But then again, what happens when everybody's healthy? And that's going to be an issue here. The Yankees have some option problems with players where you don't want to lose these guys. Luis Cessa is going to make the team because he's out of options.
Yeah.
All right? So that's going to be an issue as well. You don't want to give these guys away for free.
He's having some spring, too. 13 Ks and 13 innings, zero walks, so a one ERA. I mean, so you're right. He's out of minor league options, but thankfully he's pitching well.
He is, and hopefully he keeps it up because we've seen this from Cester in the past where he looks good, and then all of a sudden when he pitches real games, he doesn't look good. But once again, I mean, his first start probably comes against Detroit. You know, second start, it looks like it's going to be against Baltimore, you know, so he should be okay. Where he, you know, as long you, if you can, you want to avoid him the Houston starts and, you know, the Boston start. You know, but that should be doable for the Yankees in April with all the off days you that teams generally have. You should be able to finagle your rotation around that. So, as far as the Yankees are concerned, I wouldn't worry about the loss of Severino and or CC Sabathia for that matter. If fantasy owners, I'm not drafting Severino. Not unless the value is there. I'm not drafting Kershaw either. You know, two top 10 starting pitchers. I'm staying away from both. I'm not, and there's no way on earth I would draft both because he's asking for trouble here. I think Severino, like I said, I think he's out till May, and hopefully he's fine after that. And I don't mind him missing him into the season, by the way, Joe. As a Yankee fan, it means he'll be crushing for the rest of the year. So I don't mind it at all. You know, Kershaw, however, my problem with Kershaw is this. Even if you get value, you know, you get him round 7, round 8, whatever it might be. And you probably won't get these. Now that he had a bullpen session yesterday, it was successful. He looked good. So I think he's going to go back to going being around 4, round 5 guy in drafts. But anybody truly believe he's not going to get hurt again this year? You know, let's say he misses the first 2 weeks of the season.
I don't believe
If I knew that, I'd be fine. That's 3-4 starts. Right. He'll make 28 starts. I'll take that. But does anybody really truly believe he's going to go the next 6 months without getting hurt? I mean, really?
Joe Gallina doesn't. I don't believe it.
George Kurtz doesn't either.
He's got at least another IL stint in him before the season's over. So, and you know, we're going to get back to the Yankees in a second. But since you bring up Kershaw, what'd you think about the news about Walker Buehler? Now, he was a guy that I was kind of high on. I've only completed one draft, didn't get him. But he would be a guy that I'd look to target. But now, you know, Dodgers were slow pacing him during the spring, and they're kind of admitting that really he wasn't feeling right. You know, they really didn't get specific as to what the issue was. At least I didn't hear any specificity regarding it. But any concerns over drafting Walker Buehler with that little nugget of news that came out this week?
Well, and like I said, I've done probably between mocks and live drafts, I've done at least 10, 12. I don't have Buehler in any of them. He's going earlier than I would like. So I had concerns anyway. But that's me. I'm a conservative drafter, owner. And I'm not big on drafting guys who've had 1 year in the big leagues. You know, they've done it once. And let's face it, he did it once at 137 innings. All right? So I'm worried about, does he get shut down in September now? Are they going to skip starts? Or is this why they're bringing him along slowly also? Save those innings. Because if you believe in the 40 innings plus, that means he doesn't go a full season here. That means 180 innings here. That won't get you through a full season. So I wonder how that's going to work there. You bring this news up as well. He's going to make his Cactus League debut on Monday, which means he won't be ready for the regular season. Not for the start of it. Maybe he comes in once again 2 weeks in, somewhere around there. Plus the innings cap. Too much for me. Too much for me to spend a third, fourth round pick, which is where he's going. You know, people are taking him as a low-end SP1, SP2. So, yeah, I have concerns, Joe, and I'm not taking him.
Mm-hmm. All right, so back to the Yankees. Other fantasy news. What about the battle between Luke Voit and Greg Bird? So it looked like at the start of the spring, Voit would be the favorite just based on what he did for the Yankees the past couple months. But you've mentioned it before. I mean, both of them are having decent springs, right? But you've mentioned how right-handed the Yankee lineup is. Does that help Greg Bird in any way in this battle? And I guess also you have to mention the fact that Aaron Hicks probably starting the season on the IL. Maybe they could carry both of these guys to start the season on the roster.
Well, there's a lot to go over here. Go with Aaron Hicks. Yeah, I think he will start the season on the IL. That sounds weird to say that, by the way. but I think he does sign start on the IL. He hasn't played since March 1st. They gave him a cortisone shot. Still not hitting yet. He says he feels better. But, you know, it's the 16th. You know, I haven't seen today's lineup, see if he's in it yet. But let's say he is in it, and I don't know if he'll be. It's only 12 days. Once again, same problem as Harper. Can you get enough at-bats in there? Because everything he did from March 1st, that doesn't matter anymore. Once you get a game or two in there, so that doesn't matter. You got to build up from here. I don't think it's going to be possible. So I think Hicks does start. But, you know, Gardner will be your center fielder, Stanton and Judge left and right. Well, Clint Frazier now will make the team, right? So don't you need a fifth outfielder? Or is Tyler Wade going to be that guy? You know, the Yankees really were only planning on taking three hitters, extra hitters. You know, one would have been obviously the backup catcher, all right? So that would have been Romine. One would have been probably, you know, Clint Frazier. Maybe Clint Frazier anyway. Tyler Wade makes sense, but he also got LeMahieu in there, and he has to cover. So one of these guys can't make it. LeMahieu's making the team. So he's making the team, the backup catcher. So it's really only one of Frazier and Wade. And I think Wade makes the team over Frazier because of he can play everywhere. So how does this fit Bird and Voit? I was thinking about this last night. How does Bird or Voit, the loser, make the team here? I don't think they do. I don't think it matters here because I think they want position flexibility, which Bird and Voit don't offer. For these two, I mean, it's pretty much neck and neck how they've played during spring training, but all signs point to the Yankees wanting Voit to win the job. He was the favorite coming in.
Yes.
Right at the end. They've all talked him up. I wonder if there's something going on with Bird as far as he's just not well-liked. You know, it's his personality. Not that he's a bad guy, but I wonder if he's just an introvert. He doesn't say much, quiet. And Voit is more, Voit is much more Jason Giambi-like. That's what he reminds me of, a right-handed Giambi. Not that he's as good a player as Giambi was. I'm not saying that. But much more of an extra, a happy guy, happy-go-lucky guy, happy to be here. You know, he sparks up the team, that sort of thing. When Bird, I think, brings the team down a little bit. So I wonder if that's what's going on here. I expect Voit to win this competition. Even though I think, as you said, the left-handed hitting Bird would look nice in that lineup. He would never face a left-hander. But I think the Yankees want Voit to win it, and he's doing nothing to lose the job. I'd be surprised, outside of injury, if Voit doesn't win this job as of right now.
Yeah. It looks that way, yeah. And that's an interesting point that you bring up about Greg Bird. Yeah, you know, he's been injured so often. It'd be interesting to see what people
think. He thinks too much. Go out and play baseball.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll continue breaking down the AL East. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Juggling at George Kurtz. Sean Engel producing our show. If you want to avoid your fantasy team free-falling, as sung by Mr. Tom Petty, just listen to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network all day long. Hey, Antonio Brown is now part of Raider Nation. Odell Beckham Jr. is now part of perhaps the most intriguing NFL team, the Cleveland Browns. Le'Veon Bell is now a New York Jet, and the 2019 NFL Draft is just around the corner. For serious fantasy football players, it's never too early to start preparing for the 2019 season. Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package only at rotoexperts.com. So, George, a big week. I mean, I really got to – I want to spend basically just about all of our time talking fantasy baseball today because of draft season and all the big-time drafts that are taking place. But what a week in football. I mean, were you surprised about the Odell Beckham Jr. trade?
I don't think you could be surprised. You've been hearing this since last offseason, right? Mm-hmm. That maybe he could be dealt. The Giants have been strange. I mean, you're trading away everybody but Eli. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't get it. I don't think the deal was as bad as people make it out to be.
Me neither.
I mean, you got
the first rounder, the third rounder, and a first rounder from 2 years ago.
Well, you can't say you got a first round 2 years ago. That doesn't matter. Okay.
Hey, look, you did. I mean, but you did.
Yeah, but that's lawyer speak when you talk like that. You got Jabril Peppers. You know, now you judge on what he is now, not what he used to be. Who cares?
Yeah, I guess.
They used to be a first rounder. All right. But I don't think the deal was terrible. I don't. You know, could they have gotten more? Should they have gotten more? Well, Antonio Brown went for 3 out of 5. I mean, Giants obviously did much better than that. Granted, Brown had some power there, where Odell Beckham didn't. I just find it strange. I mean, if you're going to rebuild, then rebuild. You know, and I think the Giants owe $5 million to Eli, I believe, tomorrow or early next week as far as a roster bonus. I'm not paying it. I'm probably not paying it. I just don't see why. You're obviously going to rebuild here. Draft your quarterback and go on. The only way I would pay it is if what you're saying is, you know what, I may have the 6th pick, I may have the 17th pick, still not drafting a quarterback. Well, then someone has to play quarterback, then fine, you got to pay it and you do what you got to do here. Listen, I would have taken Saquon Barkley last year if I was Giants. Not once again, it had nothing to do with Barkley. I believe he was the best player in the draft, going to be great, Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. Believe all that. But you can't win in this league without a quarterback. Giants proved that last year. Barkley was great, you won 5 games. You can't win without a quarterback. Eli is not going to get you anywhere. All right, we know that. And unless you truly didn't believe in Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, if you didn't believe in them, fine, I get it. Then you got to do what you got to do, and you don't draft the quarterback. But I have a hard time believing Gettleman didn't think, or at least thought all these guys were going to be terrible, that they weren't going to be good quarterbacks. And now
just take that. We should just take the little part that just said Gettleman didn't think and then use that.
Yeah, he's certainly catching a lot of flack here in the New York area, which is it's well-deserved right now. And if he does pass on a quarterback again this year, I mean, will he be around next year to worry about it? Because it's going to be another bad year for the Giants. You know, they're obviously rebuilding. Even though, it's funny, before the Beckham trade, I kind of liked what they were doing. You know, they rebuilt the offensive line, where now it looks like an area of strength. You know, you had Barkley, you had Beckham, you know, and Shepard and Ingram. That's a nice offense. It was a nice offense. But now Beckham's gone, and it just tears it all down. And now you bring in Golden Tate. This is a strange one for me. He's a slot receiver.
So is Shepard for the most part, right? But now Shepard is going to have to move
now
to the outside.
Now he's forced to go outside. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a lot of sense here. I don't know why you're doing this. Plus, the defense is going to be all-time bad, right? You have no pass rushers. Granted, the draft is loaded with them. So the Giants could get one of them draft, but still, how many pass rushers in their first year are dominating? It takes a few years at that position, generally, before you really take off. So I don't know. The Giants seem to be all over the place. I thought the Golden Tate signing was more of a, let's get this Beckham thing off the back page. We'll sign Golden Tate. you know, that sort of thing. More of a PR move than anything else. So it's strange all around here. I think the Giants will pay Eli Manning the $5 million bonus. Maybe they take Haskins at six. Maybe they trade up to get somebody, if, you know, maybe they go after Rosen.
Trade for Rosen, right?
You know. And that's why some team has to do that. And assuming we all believe that Kyler Murray is going first to Arizona, the draft is going to be fun. Because, you know, the Cardinals right now, they're sort of that's the plot. Are they taking Murray? Are they trading Rosen? Are they trading Murray? Because they're not, you know, I don't think they're going to keep that number one spot if they're not going to take Murray. They'll trade out of it to a team that does want Murray. There's enough hype on Murray now where someone will trade, I imagine, give a bounty for Murray if the Cardinals don't want it. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, the Giants are definitely a part of this, see what they're going to do here. They now have two first-round picks. They could trade up, theoretically, with the Jets at number three. You know, they want somebody there. So I'm dying to see how it's going to work out here. But the Giants, to me, are all over the place. But like I said, I don't think the actual trade itself was all that bad. I don't. You know, I'm not saying I would have done that trade. But as far as the compensation, I thought it was okay. Maybe not a great trade for the Giants. It's certainly a better trade for Cleveland because of what they're doing. It has nothing to do with the Giants. What they're doing, Cleveland's doing, is fun right now. I mean, my God. I forget who said it on Twitter, but you couldn't, in a fantasy draft, you couldn't put together the talent that the Cleveland Browns have.
It's a very good point. Excellent point. Well, we're on tomorrow morning. You and I, Road Experts, in the morning from 8 to 11. Lots of football news to cover, so we'll go more in depth about this OBJ trade, you know, Le'Veon Bell and all the action that took place this past week in the NFL. But in a way, if I'm baseball, and I know that, this is a kind of an outlier year because think about the players that got moved in the past week in the NFL, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, OBJ, you know, arguably three of the top 15 best players in football got moved, you know, and so much attention, so much of the focus, you know, has been towards football. So if I'm baseball in a way, I'm a little concerned that, hey, this is my time of year. This is the year where you should be looking at me. So, but, you know, today is a fantasy baseball day. Let's continue breaking down some of this AL East action here. But baseball should take note. So. By the way, what'd you think about the 96.5 number for the Yankees over underwise? Do you like them over? I kind of do.
I would go over.
It's a big number.
I certainly can't go under. It's a huge number when you think about it. But the American League is so bad.
Yes.
I mean, you think about it. American League East, you have three good teams, right? Yankees and Red Sox are great teams. Rays are a good team. The Central, I don't know how good the Indians are going to be. That offense is not going to be anywhere near what it used to be.
Could
with
be
that
the
pitching
Twins.
Staff.
Yeah.
Now, the Twins, I think, are an interesting team. They've had a lot of nice additions. If some of these guys can perform up to expectations, I'm talking about you, Byron Buxton, Kepler. Yeah, the pitching staff still scares me a little bit.
I'm
a Twins, with all these additions you've made, don't you want to take a look at Keuchel? Take a look at Craig Kimbrell? You know, I think either one would really help this team. But I think the Twins are, they're a decent, they're not a great team by any means, but they're a team, okay, fine, well, we can talk about them a little bit. And then obviously out west you have Houston, they're a great team. And Oakland, I don't know, I think they did it with Ramirez last year, so I'm not really sold on them either. You know, that pitching staff is like, ugh. You know, so once
Jesus
again.
Jesus Luzardo. Love
yeah,
that
but
guy.
Rookie in his first year is not going to do a lot of damage. And he'll be on a major innings limit anyway. But yes, listen, I'm in on Luzardo too. I've tried to get him in a couple of leagues and keep getting sniped, it seems like. Clearly by Chris Mitchell.
He goes earlier and earlier.
The hype is there for Luzardo. You're right. That's a great point. The hype is there. He is going earlier and earlier in drafts here. But the bottom line is this. Yankees, 96.5. Even without Severino. You know, even without – not that CeCe's great at this point in his career. Anyway, I'll go over. I have a tough time seeing how them and the Red Sox don't win 100 games unless other injuries happen to hit here. The Yankees won all those games last year. You think about it. Judge missed 2 months. Sanchez was pretty much MIA. I mean, they still won all these games. You know, these guys stay healthy. The Yankees are going to score 1,000 runs this year. So, yeah, I'm in on the Yankees.
Yeah, I want to move on to the Red Sox, but just a quick point. I mean, it just seems that, Judge is in just he's in he's
just so super focused, you know. Missed some time last year with that injury, but I think he hit his fifth home run of the spring last season. And what do you think about Stanton, too? Everybody's saying bouncing back. he should have another, you know, productive year as well. But, you know, and Judge, what do you think about him not wanting to take part in that home run derby?
I found that interesting. For those who don't know, well, part of the new rules in baseball this season is that the winner of the home run derby gets $1 million. Mm-hmm. You know, and that may not mean anything to Mike Trout or, you know, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper getting $300 million. That's double what Judge is getting paid this year. So it would mean something to him, and yet he's still saying he won't participate in it. I think this is disappointing for baseball. I do. I think they would have liked to have seen Judge in there and Stanton and probably maybe Sanchez too. See them all go in there. So I'm a little surprised, but I think for Yankee fans, it's a good thing because I think it lets you know that Judge cares about one thing and one thing only, winning.
Yes.
You know, I think it's all he wants to do. That's all he cares about. He's not worried about, you know, the extra $500,000, you know, the extra $1 million he'd win for getting it, which he probably would win it. Let's face it, he probably would. You know, that's not what he's worried about. He knows he's going to get paid. You know, once his arbitration, then his free agent, he's going to get paid. Yeah, so he's not really truly worried about that. So I think that's good for Judge that he decided not to do that. I personally, yes, I would have liked to have seen him in it. I prefer the home run derby more than I do the All-Star game. Which, by the way, they're going to have Election Day for the All-Star game? What the hell?
Yeah.
I couldn't care less about the All-Star game. I truly couldn't. So once again, I think that's fine. Judge is locked in right now. He did hit his fifth home run in spring training yesterday. They're all to right and right center, so you can see what he's doing. He's sort of gearing up for Yankee Stadium. He is taking a very short when he doesn't have a big step now in his stance. He's really just up and down, you know, and so he's just getting there. I think he wants to cut down the strikeouts. That's what he's trying to do. Yeah, cut down on the strikeouts here, hitting a lot to right and right center, which in Yankee Stadium will play very well. This is something Sanchez needs to do. Because I think a big problem with Gary Sanchez last year, Joe, was that I think part of it came from the home run derby the year before with Stanton and you know, Judge hitting all these home runs. I know Sanchez beat Stanton in his round. But then in spring training last year, he'd seen all the long home runs that Judge and Stanton hit in batting practice, and Sanchez wanted to match them. You know, a little macho thing going there where he forgot, you hit the ball to the right center. Works very well in Yankee Stadium. He sort of forgot. He was pulling off everything. That's why he was missing all those outside sliders. He was pulling off everything. One hit every ball a mile to the left. He gets back to hitting that ball to the right center. He's going to be a monster as well.
Great points. And like you, from an entertainment perspective, sure, I'd love to see Judge in the home run hitting contest. But for me, I'm happy that he said no, not only because it shows that his focus is on winning. And when it comes to, you know, the $1 million doubling his salary, yes, but I'm sure he's making tons of money from endorsements and will continue to do so as well. But the thing that you bring up in terms of Sanchez brings up my biggest fear of players that I care about joining that home run hitting contest is that it messes with your approach at the plate, messes with your mechanics. So, ball players today are already swinging for the fences and adjusting, you know, their approach at the plate to hit home runs. They don't need to, you know, at least guys that I care about. I don't need them in that contest. I mean, there's a ton of home runs being hit in the major leagues. There's only a few players that you could say are kind of locks for hitting 40 or more, you know. You know, lock, I put in quotes because, you know, 40 is a big number to approach. But Stanton could do it easily. You know, Judge could do it easily. Joey Gallo will strike out a million times, but he could hit 40 home runs. Chris Davis with a K. But J.D. Martinez, let's transition over to the Red Sox. He's another guy you know, is quote-unquote a lock for, you know, 40 home runs or so. When you look at what the Red Sox did last year, 108 wins. Their over-under this year is 94.5. They were an offensive juggernaut just as a team. Led the majors in batting average, runs scored, OPS. J.D. Martinez had a phenomenal year. Dealing with a little bit of a back issue. It's supposed to be nothing, but yeah, just something to notice. I mean, he's a perennial 300 hitter, a 40 home run guy as well.
Yeah, J.D. was back in the lineup yesterday. He'll be fine. He's a professional hitter. All right, this guy can hit. And once again, it's funny how these guys who are all great hitters use right field. And JD's another one. A lot of his power is the right center. He's, he hangs back on the ball. He's not looking to pull everything where the off-speed pitches then get him. He sits back. So he uses that right field very well for the Red Sox there. He was back in my lineup yesterday in a mock I did for CBS yesterday. He lasted eighth, which is, I think, the latest I've seen him go all season long. And I nailed him at eighth. I was very happy to get him there. I'm not worried about the injury. Like I said, he played in the Yankee and got a hit yesterday. He'll be fine for opening day. You could take JD where you normally would.
Very good. What do you think about, we just have less than 2 minutes, and we'll continue our Red Sox discussion when we come back from break. But what do you think about any concerns about Chris Sale? He continues to put up big numbers, missed a little over a month of the season, two separate IL stints last year, some shoulder inflammation and whatnot. Velocity was up and down over the course of last season. Is he a guy that you just, you know, autopilot kind of ace, or a little concerns based on what you saw last year with the inflammation?
Oh, I have concerns. It's not just last year. It's every year. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. He seems to break down. He's not as effective in August and September because it's a long season. The innings will add up. So I think you have to be concerned. Now, once again, that mock yesterday, I took him. Second round, whatever, I had the eighth overall pick, so whatever that makes it in the 12th or 12 round league, pick 15. DeGrom and Scherzer went. I was between Sale and Verlander. And the reason I took Sale over Verlander is only because in every other league I have Verlander, it seems like. That's always always the guy I end up with. So I took Sale on this one just to be a little different. And if the league counted, if it was a money league, I'd have probably gone Verlander because, yes, I do have concerns. Even though Verlander's older, I think he's built more like a traditional pitcher where he'll last.
Yeah. Yeah, Sale also, he's consciously not been throwing at 100% at times to preserve his arm. But when we come back, we'll continue breaking down the AL East, Boston Red Sox, Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.